Last week we read from Psalm 91 when the main focus was, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then we touched on three points. The first one was all about, you know, when we talk about the secret place, I remember us saying that the secret place is a hidden place. You intentionally don't want people to know about it unless people you want to be there. And then we ask questions about what is the secret place. And many of us, we said our houses, of course they are. For me, the bedroom is a secret place. And when I shut the door, the kids need, even though it's their house, they know they need to knock on the door before they come in. You know, so it's a place where I can do whatever I need to do, and then I know that I have a place. But also, my secret place is also downstairs. There's a particular chair I sit, and when I sit there and cover myself, it's my place, me and God. You know, but the most secret place we found out was a place where we can really hide things and nobody else can find it unless we let them in. What did we say last week? Where? Our hearts. We can hide lots of secrets in our heart that nobody knows. And you know, many of us have been married for many years, and our partners don't even know some deep secret about us. You know, there are people who just keep things that they can't even share with their partner. And if you don't say it, nobody knows it. And sometimes you probably kill somebody and bury them quietly because you didn't share it. Nobody knows, you know. So what I'm saying is a secret place. And the thing about the person of the Holy Spirit, I want to repeat that because I also said it last year. When we talk about everything that you hear here about God, we talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus. You know, everything that the Bible says about Jesus, you know, in this present time on earth here right now, do you know that the one, when we're talking about God, when you pray your prayer to Jesus, we call on the presence of the Father. Who do you think responds? Huh? Who? The Holy Spirit. Because God the Father is in heaven. And when Jesus died and he resurrected, you know what happened? In Acts, the Bible tells us that he ascended into heaven. The disciples saw him going. So Jesus is not here right now. He's in heaven. The person who is here now is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I will go to heaven and I will send, pray the Father to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit." So he's the one that is here now. And then when Jesus started to teach them, he also told them that he will come and live where? Where will the Holy Spirit live? In us. So he is in us now. And I remember I shared last week too that in terms of proximity, you know, the closest person to you is not your wife. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not your husband. Because however close you can be to your wife or to your husband, you sleep together, you tight like this, there is still a gap. You are still outside of each other. But with the Holy Spirit is inside of you, so you become one, not just in the spirit, but in the physical. Do you, as I'm holding the microphone now, the Holy Spirit is holding the microphone with me. I cannot separate myself from him. But even though I can choose to not give him room to operate in me and through me, but the truth is, he's there. Whether I like it or not. Because I've invited him to my life and I've invited him to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he's there with me. He can be there, dormant, not active, because I haven't allowed him to. But the truth is, he's there. And so when we start to talk about God, we are actually talking about the Holy Spirit. So I just want to remind us of that. But even though we know, sometimes we forget. And so this Holy Spirit, he lives inside of me. And Jesus was teaching them, I think it's in John 16 and John 14 and even John 17. He was telling them, said, this Holy Spirit will come and he will help you. He's a helper. He said he will teach you. He's a teacher. He said he will reveal things to you. He's a revealer. And the Bible tells us that he's also the power of God. So he carries the power. Jesus was telling them, you will be wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my you will receive power to be my witnesses. You will receive power to be. So when we're talking about the power of God as it relates to us right now, we are talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. But the truth is, the complete Holy Spirit is inside us now. The power that created the universe is inside us. The power that raised up Jesus from the dead is inside of us. If he's inside of us, why is he in us? God, when it comes to his doing, he works only by his Spirit. I'm not saying in terms of you doing things, you can do things without God. But when it comes to God doing his work, he only does it through his Spirit. Because when it comes to man and God in our relationship with him, the way God works, God always, he works by having his way. God does not compromise with any man. God has a style. He has his way of doing things. And the only one who knows the way of the Father is his Son and his Spirit. So we don't know unless what he has revealed to us. So in order for God to do things he wants to do, the way he wants to do it, in order for him to empower it, it's got to be done by his way. And the one who can effectively do that is the Holy Spirit. So when God is calling you to do a thing for him, know that God is asking you to partner with the Holy Spirit. It's not depending on you to do it. He's asking you to come and open yourself for the Holy Spirit to do this work in us. Can somebody, Richard, please, can you help me put this thing out here? I just want to demonstrate, to just create, write. I was thinking of whether to use the computer to do some things. I know I'm good, but I'm not as good as some of you. So I thought, okay, at least I can draw, or I can attempt to draw. And I remember, actually, art is my worst subject. So if you want to see me at my worst, watch what I draw now. When I was in secondary school, year one would have been year seven, here they asked us to draw a boat. You know, it took me hours to draw something as simple as boats that people would just draw, and everybody was drawing it, and it was an exam. I couldn't draw a boat. The girl that was sitting next to me said, come on, bring it. And she just, within a few seconds, and she drew it, and it was ready. You know, and I need a miracle to draw. If you see me drawing and you recognize what I'm drawing, that must be a miracle. Okay, so this is imagery now. Let's look at the man. We're talking about the total man. Yeah, when I say that, I mean woman too. Let's say this is the head. I can draw a circle, that's easy, isn't it? And then this is the neck. My wife is saying, oh dear. Oh, you didn't know this about me. Okay. I told you to imagine. Use your imagination now. This is man. Total man. No, I deliberately drew it like this so that you do know how bad I am. So, okay. We are talking of, let's just actually just make it a circle like this, easier for the, so let's. Snowman, yes. And then that definitely is not me because I don't have hair. So let's look at this now. This is a man, yeah? Man. We're talking about the Holy Spirit inside of us. Yeah? Let's draw him like... Let's say this is fire, dynamite that's about to explode. So you use your imagination. Follow me. Don't follow what I draw, but follow what I say. This Holy Spirit has all the power in heaven and on earth. All. But it's inside of this man that has all the weaknesses you can think of. It's weak. You can see he can't even draw a man like me. He struggles in every area. But the Father gave him to man in order for man to live and how the Father sees him. In order for man to fully live the life that the Father has ordained for him, he needs the help of the Holy Spirit. This man is so weak, he cannot live the life that the Father expects from him. But the Holy Spirit is so powerful, he knows the mind of the Father. He can enable this man to fully fulfill his purpose. Does that make sense? So, in order for this weak man, weak, to live a powerful life, what should he do?
To rely on the Holy Spirit in him.
To rely on the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? What does that mean? How does he rely on the Holy Spirit? Trust. Okay, trust the Holy Spirit. Yes? What are the... go on. You're not wrong. I'm just wanting to... Anybody else? Consult. Okay. So what we are saying now is... Number one, to... Trust... Rely. How do you spell rely? One L? One, yeah. And then consult. Yes, next. Eh? Believe. Yes. Eh? Depend. Submit. Obey. Ignite. Set in fire. Okay. Yes. Love. Okay. So what you are saying is this man, in order to be who he was created to be, need to trust, rely, consult, believe, depend, submit, obey, and ignite the Holy Spirit inside him. That's what we are saying. How does he do that? Practically, how does he do that? What should we be doing daily to allow this Holy Spirit? I'm just asking questions. I don't need you to answer me yet. So what does he need to do to release, to allow this thing to happen? What we are saying here, in summary, we are saying that he needs to learn to, what's one word that we use to, the one inside, you are the one that have authority on earth. So in order for him to step, what are we trying to say? He needs to learn to, that's what we are saying. He needs to come to a place to learn how to surrender to this gentle, quiet spirit that will not impose himself, that will not usurp authority. Because God gave man the authority to operate on earth here. So the man has authority to say no to God, like after we discover with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had the authority to say no to God. So in order for man, for the Holy Spirit to have his way in the life of this man, and this man to live as a giant, victorious, to be an overcomer, to be who God has ordained him to be, he needs to learn to do what? To surrender. He needs to learn to surrender. And you know that surrender is a very tough word. The word, let me see if I have it here. I don't know if I checked the dictionary for surrender. The word surrender, yes, I think I do have it somewhere here. Yes, my glasses. To surrender means to give up, to return or to yield. One of the dictionaries put it this way. He said, the word surrender presupposes the possession or ownership of a thing that is being returned. For example, the man is in charge. He owns it. He owns himself. He's in authority. So it's not something you've borrowed. It's something that you own. You have right over it. So it means to return it or to give it up. So what we are trying to say here, this man needs to come to a place where he gives up his right. He gives up his right. But to surrender sometimes can be by free will or by force. But God, as we've discovered, does not take over by force. God is a respecter of authority. Sometimes we say, why would God allow this thing to happen? Because these people are in charge. When people are willing to surrender to God. So in order for this man, for me and you, to live the fulfilled life God has called us to, we have to learn how to surrender to God, to the Holy Spirit inside of us daily. Somebody said, to ignite the dynamite inside of us. It's the force, the powerhouse of God. When we set it ablaze, what will happen? It will explode. And you know what happens to dynamite when it explodes? It scatters everywhere. It imparts not just the immediate vicinity, but the areas around. There was an explosion in France. Was it yesterday? A gas explosion. You saw how many houses it damaged. Streets far away from where it happened. Glasses shattered. That's power when things explode. The Holy Spirit is more than any bomb or dynamite you can ever think of. But that power, that unlimited power, is inside of you. Church, I just want you to get this. That power that we cannot quantify is inside of you. You and me is in us. He's in us. It's not so. The problem with the church is not the lack of power. The difficulty with the church is we haven't learned how to surrender to the power that is inside of us. He will not do things without being invited. And sometimes, you see why sometimes, if you see Christians, people, when we're praying, there are times we'll be praying, you know, you see some people start to walk into the church for prayer meeting that you haven't seen for a long time. You know, they are in trouble. You see somebody who hasn't been waking up for a long time to pray, and suddenly 5 a.m., you know, if it's your wife or your son, they're trying to wake up 5 a.m. to pray. You know that there is trouble somewhere. There's fire in the house. God allows that trouble sometimes. So that when trouble press us, we turn to him. He allows the trouble to come to us so that something that we cannot handle, something that we fight, we try at best, and we don't have a way over it, and then we turn to him. For example, see, God uses tough times to release the power in us. A good example is somebody like David. Met with God several times. And the Bible now tells us that when Goliath came, the Philistines, and they tormented the whole of Israel, the army of Israel was afraid. Nobody dared step out. They were so scared that nobody came out. And yet, there was a boy already anointed to be king in the land of Israel. Nobody knew him. But in order for him to come to the center stage that God had created for him, what did God allow to happen? The Philistines came to threaten Israel, and Goliath stood up. How are you sure that the Goliath that's rising up in your life is not an opportunity for you to occupy the stage that God has created for you? Many of us are crying, Lord, take this trouble from me. We don't want trouble. But what happened with David when Goliath came and David stood up? Should I attempt to draw again? No, okay. But because I want to torture you, I will. Let's look at... No, I should be able to draw. This is Goliath. It looked like a penguin. And then this is little David. Can you see that? That's little David. And yet, we're talking about the power inside. This little David came to Goliath. The Bible says when he came, Goliath stood up, but David ran towards him. He ran towards trouble. People were running away from trouble. People who were trained, military men, trained, equipped men. One of his brothers that Goliath, when Samuel came to ordain a king, he wanted to choose one of his brothers. That one was there. He was hiding. But this little boy knew how to release the power inside. He ran towards trouble while many were running away from trouble. Giant killers run towards trouble. We pray for the anointing of giant killing in your life this year in Jesus' name. Your trouble will lead to your promotion. When you go for a job, say you want a higher job, what do? You apply for a job, you get an interview. What's the interview for? To test you whether you are able to do the job. A lot of trouble that you go through is a test for promotion. That's one of the ways that God releases the fire that is inside, is through trouble, through Goliath, through challenges in our lives. And so those challenges will push us against the wall that we'll have no other choice than to turn to God. And when we turn to God, say, this is what I've been waiting for. And then he starts to tell you how. And as you follow the how, as you turn to him, what happens is the spirit within you comes out, releases power, acts on your behalf. Some of the things that you were doing that you could not do, like I was talking about going to Nigeria. Somebody just came. I wasn't even praying about it. They said, we'll give you all these things. What? Because you are learning to surrender to him. Trust in him. He starts to do things on your behalf. This woman that's my wife today, I didn't go out looking for her. God spoke to somebody. I'll tell you the story. I'll end here. This is a different... You people are knowing a lot of things that you didn't know about me before. I'm sharing it. You know, I was looking for a wife. I was really, every time, because I was pastoral, so I would go to people, I encourage them. Every time I see people, I say, Lord, could this be the one? Sometimes you're on the train and you say, she's beautiful. Could she be the one? sometimes in church, somebody comes in, a new person comes in, and you say, oh, wow, she looks nice, you know. And then people start to introduce others to me. And there were people, you know, there are a lot of matchmakers in the church. They're trying to match me up with a woman that had a child. No problem with that, but foolishly, the truth is, stupidly, I was so ignorant, I didn't know. This woman will invite me to her house. She will cook. She said, come and teach us, I'll teach Bible. She invited another lady to the house. And then I would do teaching and all those ones and pray with them. I didn't know that they were trying to matchmake. I was so ignorant. It was when we got to church one day, one of my brothers was saying, Desmond, what's wrong with this girl? I said, there's nothing wrong with her. And she said, so why don't you talk to her? Oh, then the whole thing clicked. That the people have discussed and wanted to set up something, and I was eating free food, not knowing that that was what the plan was. I'm sure they are saying, how long will you eat our free food for, you know? You know? And then when I stopped, I had God say to me, why don't you trust me? You know, when I stopped worrying, I stopped worrying about it. God spoke on my behalf to the pastor of the church, gave her a revelation, and said, this is your wife. And then she spoke to my wife directly, at Desmond. I'm telling you how God can act on your behalf. Why? When he came to a place of surrender, he came out, started to speak to people, the right people that needed to know to activate the blessing he wanted to bring to me. So I didn't have to beg to marry my wife because God has already pleaded on my behalf. This year, God will plead on your behalf before you even know it in Jesus' name. He will send people before you. As I said, expect it, church. Expect it. He will go before you. He will go ahead of you. By the time you arrive, people will have said somebody. You know, like when you go to a very expensive restaurant and you buy food, you want to eat and you want to pay. They say somebody has already paid for you. So will it be in your life this year in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? You know how we say every year, expect a miracle. It's your year of miracles. It's your year of breakthrough. This year is, but you have a part to play in it. Yes, please. Yes. You have a part to play in it. This year, if you will, somebody said something, consult the Holy Spirit. Consult. Turn to him. If you will learn to turn to him all the time, he will speak to you. He will act on your behalf. If you give with wisdom, instruction, revelation, schoolwork, he's a scientist. Many of you that want to, you do physics, chemistry, biology, you can't understand it. As you study, pray, Lord, spirit of wisdom, come upon me. Those subjects that you're struggling with, ask him to help you. Ask him to enable you. The project you're struggling with at work. Church, it's not just spiritual things. The Bible says he will bring you into all truth. All. Difficult people at work, ask him. It's not just, Lord, kill him, Lord. Lord, move him. You know, we release the fire of God upon them. It's also, Lord, show me how to work with them. Sometimes what God might tell you would be just to buy a flower for this person that has been treating you and almost killing you every day. And you say, Lord, I can't do that. Or to go and say sorry to him. So you have to follow his instruction. As you follow the instruction of the living God, what happens is you activate your miracle. Don't let your emotions get in the way. Lord, I pray this year that we will turn to you. I pray this year that we will consult you. I pray this year that we open our ears to hear you. We'll make time for you. We'll make time for you. Lord, we will make time for you. that in the morning we will turn to you. All through each day, all through the day, we'll make room for you to speak to our hearts. We'll surrender to you. Lord, we don't want it to be through difficult experiences, but Lord, we want it to be our normal way of living, learning to surrender. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, he said, I have said to you that in repentance is your salvation. And then he says, in quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Lord, when we fall against your will, we come to a place of genuine repentance in Jesus' name. We will learn to come to a place of quietness so that we can relieve the strength inside of us. Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that our weakness will not limit us this year. There will become a source of strength as we turn to you. For you that is in us to release your strength. So we give you thanks and praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.